You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on Thanks. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Notes on Thanks, How the New Science of Gratitude Can Make You Happier by Robert Emmons. As always, we'll kick it off with a quote. Quote, gratitude has never, until recently, been examined or studied by scientific psychologists. It is possible that psychology has ignored gratitude because it appears, on the surface, to be a very obvious emotion, lacking in interesting complications. We receive a gift from friends, from family, from God, and then we feel pleasurably grateful. But while the emotion seemed simplistic, even to me as I began my research, I soon discovered that gratitude is a deeper, more complex phenomenon that plays a critical role in human happiness. Gratitude is literally one of the few things that can measurably change people's lives. End quote. That is Robert Emmons from Thanks. A professor at the University of California, Davis, Robert Emmons is one of the world's leading experts on the science of gratitude. This book is packed with wisdom on both the scientific underpinnings of gratitude as well as practical steps we can engage in to make it a bigger part of our lives. I'm excited to share some of my favorite big ideas and hope you love it. Let's jump in. We'll start with the first big idea. Happiness is a good thing. Quote, so gratitude is a key to happiness, as I will argue from a scientific angle. And happiness itself is a good thing. An implicit assumption that many of us hold is that happiness depends on happenings, by what happens in our lives. We believe that success in life, whether in the boardroom or the bedroom, makes people happier. Yet a recent review of the scientific literature on happiness revealed that happiness yields numerous rewards for the individual and precedes those outcomes. This means that happiness makes good things happen. It actually promotes positive outcomes. The benefits of happiness include higher income and superior work outcomes. For example, greater productivity, higher quality of work, greater occupational attainment. It also includes larger social rewards, such as more satisfying and longer marriages, more friends, stronger social support, and richer social connections. It also includes more activity, energy, and flow, and better physical health. For example, a bolstered immune system, lowered stress levels, and less pain. And finally, it could also include even a longer life. End quote. So, gratitude boosts happiness. But why worry about being happy in the first place? Well, Emmons gives us a bunch of reasons above, and let's let Sony Lubomirsky echo his wisdom with some of her own great ideas from her great book, The How of Happiness, where she tells us, quote, in sum, across all the domains of life, happiness appears to have numerous positive byproducts that few of us have taken the time to really understand. In becoming happier, we not only boost experiences of joy, contentment, love, pride, and awe, but also improve other aspects of our lives, our energy levels, our immune systems, our engagement with work and with other people, and our physical and mental health. In becoming happier, we bolster as well our feelings of self-confidence and self-esteem. We come to believe that we are worthy human beings, deserving of respect. A final and perhaps least appreciated plus is that if we become happier, we benefit not only ourselves, but also our partners, families, communities, and even society at large. End quote. Well, that sounds good to me. Now, how about some mojo on how gratitude can help us boost our happiness? That leads us to the next big idea. How about a 25% boost to your happiness? So here's the first study on gratitude Emmons conducted with his team. Researchers split participants into three groups. Every week, the participants kept a journal where they described in a single sentence five things they were either grateful for, that was the gratitude condition, or displeased about, that was the hassles condition, and they had a neutral group that simply described five events that happened, that was the events condition. Now, what did the first study reveal? quote, at the end of 10 weeks, we examined differences between the three groups on all of the well-being outcomes that we measured at the outset of the study. Participants in the gratitude condition felt better about their lives as a whole and were more optimistic about the future than participants in either of the other control conditions. To put it into numbers, according to the scale we used to calculate well-being, they were a full 25% happier than other participants. End quote. That's a wow. So to recap, participants who kept a journal where they described five things they were grateful for were 25% happier than the other groups. That's pretty amazing. And in future studies, Emmons tells us that, quote, participants in the gratitude condition felt more joyful, enthusiastic, interested, attentive, energetic, excited, determined, and strong than those in the hassles condition. End quote. Me likes. And I say we take some time to do our weekly gratitude journaling right now. So in the PDF, we've got some space. We can write down five things you're really grateful for. Why don't you press pause right now and think of five things in your life that you're really grateful for? Five things. Press pause and we'll wait for you. All right, welcome back. I trust that you just thought about five things you're really grateful for. If you didn't, seriously, press pause and do it right now. It's huge. We want to get in the habit of flexing our gratitude muscles, but I will assume that you came up with at least five things you're really grateful for. Well done. Do that consistently, and the research says you will be significantly happier than those who do not. For now, we'll move on to the next big idea, gratitude sleeping pills. Quote, compared to those who were not jotting down their blessings nightly, participants in the gratitude condition reported getting more hours of sleep each night, spending less time awake before falling asleep, and feeling more refreshed upon awakening. Perhaps this is why grateful individuals feel more alive and vital during the day. This finding is enormous, in that sleep disturbance and poor sleep quality have been identified as central indicators of poor overall well-being. End quote. Do you have trouble sleeping? As Emmons says, quote, it may sound simplistic, but the evidence cannot be ignored. If you want to sleep more soundly, count blessings, not sheep. End quote. So here's to popping some gratitude sleeping pills tonight. Count your blessings. And as you get ready to do that later tonight, if necessary, actually, it's a great habit whether you have problems falling asleep or not. It's a great way to wrap up your day right before you head off into dreamland. But for now, we'll move on to the next big idea, which is the key to flourishing relationships. Quote, recent research suggests that optimal mental health is associated with high ratios of positive to negative emotions. According to this model, normal functioning is characterized by ratios near 2.5. That is, 2.5 times more positivity than negativity, whereas optimal functioning is characterized by ratios near 4.3. Summarizing two decades of observational research on marriages, the University of Washington psychologist John Gottman, an expert in marital relations, concludes that unless a couple is able to maintain a high ratio of positive to negative effect, which is a 5-to-1 ratio or greater, it is likely that their marriage will end. In a highly publicized study, he and his colleagues observed 73 couples discussing an area of conflict in their relationship. The research team measured positivity and negativity using two coding schemes. One focused on positive and negative speech acts, and another focused on observable positive and negative emotions. Gottman reported that among marriages that last and that both partners find satisfying, what might be called flourishing relationships, mean positivity ratios were 5.1 for speech acts and 4.7 for observed emotions. By contrast, among marriages identified as being on downward spirals toward dissolution, the mean positivity ratios were 0.9 for speech acts and 0.7 for observed emotions. Gottman has become so good at spotting the strengths and weaknesses of a marriage, he can predict with 90% accuracy whether the marriage will end in divorce or not, often after just 3 minutes of observation in his marriage lab. End quote. Now that's a long paragraph packed with lots of goodness. We've talked about the magic ratio of love before. It's 5 to 1. If we want to create flourishing relationships, we've got to go for 5 positive interactions for every 1 negative interaction. Kind of begs the question, what's the best way to boost our positivity ratio? Simple, practicing gratitude in our marriage and other relationships. As I've mentioned before, nearly every night before we go to sleep, Alexandra and I take a few minutes and share at least 5 things we really appreciate about the other. Highly recommend that practice. Super fun, feels good. It's a good way to take some sleeping pills as well, right? Those gratitude, appreciation pills that help us get great nights of rest. For now, let's move to the next big idea. Emotional incompatibility. Quote, the basic observation that positive emotions are somehow incompatible with negative emotions is not a new idea and has been demonstrated over several decades. Back in the 1950s, this basic principle of emotional incompatibility provided the basis of behavioral therapies designed to treat phobias and other anxiety disorders. One simply cannot be relaxed and stressed at the same time. Try it. You can't. Relaxation drives out anxiety and vice versa. The Buddha said that hatred cannot coexist with loving kindness and dissipates if supplanted with thoughts based on loving kindness. You cannot be grateful and resentful at the same time, or forgiving and vengeful. When we are savoring the moment, we cannot be regretting the past. End quote. Emotional incompatibility. Quite simply, we cannot experience both positive emotions and negative emotions at the same time. Try to hold both at the same time right now. As Emmons tells us, you can't. Anxiety and relaxation can't coexist. Neither can resentment and gratitude. So, the next time you're feeling anxious, see if you can deliberately relax by breathing deeply, releasing the tension in your body, and smiling. And when you're feeling resentment toward life or someone in it, see if you can push that emotion out by focusing on all the things you're grateful for. There you go, emotional incompatibility. 2 opposite emotions can't coexist, so push the negative one out with something positive. The next big idea is opportunities for growth. Quote, it is relatively easy to feel grateful when good things are happening and life is going the way we want it to go. A much greater challenge is to be grateful when things are not going so well and are not going the way we think they should. Anger, bitterness, and resentment seem to be so much easier, so much more a natural reaction in times like these. The religious traditions encourage us to do more than react with passivity and resignation to loss and crisis. They advise us to change our perspective so that our suffering is transformed into an opportunity for growth. Not only does the experience of tragedy give us an exceptional opportunity for growth, but some sort of suffering is also necessary for a person to achieve maximal psychological growth. In his study of self-actualizers, the paragons of mental wellness, the famed humanist psychologist Abraham Maslow noted that, quote, the most important learning lessons were tragedies, deaths, and trauma, which forced change in the life outlook of the person, and consequently, in everything that he did, end quote. As Emmons tells us, it's relatively easy to feel grateful when everything's rocking. The trick is to center ourselves in gratitude when things go sideways. Now, it's a lot easier to do that by practicing gratitude day in and day out, creating a disposition to gratitude such that we've built up our gratitude muscles and are prepared for some heavy lifting when the really challenging times come, as they inevitably will. It's also really important to know that it's during our challenging times that we tend to grow the most. In fact, Maslow tells us that these times are essential for our psychological growth. We simply need the challenges in order to most powerfully clarify our values and live in integrity with them. Keep that in mind if you're going through some challenging times, and for now we'll move on to the next big idea, feeling grateful and being grateful. Quote, in thinking about the relations between suffering, gratitude, and growth, we need to remember the difference between feeling grateful and being grateful. As a feeling, gratitude is a natural response to a particular situation when good things happen to an individual. No one feels grateful when they have lost a job, received a devastating diagnosis, or seen their marriage crumble. How could they? It would be absurd and an insult to the person to suggest they should feel grateful in spite of what was happening to them. But gratefulness is not just a feeling. It is also an attitude, a chosen posture toward life that says, I will be grateful in all circumstances. Brother David Steindl-Rast, the world's foremost teacher of gratitude, has written that, quote, times that challenge us physically, emotionally, and spiritually may make it almost impossible for us to feel grateful. Yet, we can decide to live gratefully, courageously open to life in all of its fullness. By living the gratefulness we don't feel, we begin to feel the gratefulness we live, end quote. Continuing the quote from Emmons, he says, conceiving of gratefulness as a posture toward life enables us to see how it can be tested and strengthened through adversity. Grateful feelings follow when good things happen. Grateful attitudes precede goodness, and they precede trials. If one is not grateful before challenges arrive, it is going to be more difficult, though not impossible, to summon up gratitude after they hit, end quote. Goes back to the last big idea we talked about, building up your gratitude muscles so it becomes a disposition. So feeling grateful versus being grateful, powerful stuff. All right, the next big idea is keep a gratitude journal. Quote, one of the best ways to cultivate gratitude is to establish a daily practice in which you remind yourself of the gifts, grace, benefits, and good things you enjoy. One of the best ways to do this is keeping a daily journal in which you record the blessings you are grateful for. My research has shown that this technique makes people happier. When we are grateful, we affirm that a source of goodness exists in our lives. By writing each day, we magnify and expand upon these sources of goodness. Setting aside time on a daily basis to recall moments of gratitude associated with even mundane or ordinary events, your personal attributes, or valued people in your life, gives you the potential to interweave and thread together a sustainable life theme of gratefulness, just as it nourishes a fundamental life stance whose thrust is decidedly affirming. End quote. So the final chapter in the book is about practicing gratitude, where Emmons outlines 10 evidence-based prescriptions for becoming more grateful. Number one, keeping a gratitude journal. The basic idea is really simple. Every day, write down 5 things for which you feel grateful. Now, you want to avoid gratitude fatigue, which is what Emmons calls it, by keeping your list fresh. But otherwise, keep it simple and just take the few moments to identify a handful of specific things you feel grateful for. As Emmons tells us, a daily regimen is what's required. I start every day writing down 5 things I'm grateful for in my life and love to fall asleep and wake up thinking of all the amazing gifts in my life. And throughout the day, I'll just ponder things that I'm grateful for or take a moment while I'm scooping oatmeal out of the the bulk bin at the grocery store, just thinking about the farmer who grew that and all the people who were involved in getting it to that bin so that I can enjoy it next morning for breakfast. Taking a shower, you can be grateful for the water that's coming out. Every moment offers us an opportunity to be grateful. Let's take advantage of it, and then let's get systematic about it and develop the daily regimen where we're actually noting the 5 things we're most grateful for that day. Have fun with it. Rock that. Big stuff. All right, the next big idea is the law of emotional contagion. Quote, internal strategies are good, but not enough. We live in social contexts, and other people can facilitate or hinder our desire to become more grateful. You might consider hanging out with grateful people and commit to spending less time with people who themselves lack this virtue. You may already do this since ungrateful people, like chronic depressives, tend to be shunned. A well-established social psychological law is the law of emotional contagion. An emotion expressed within a group has a ripple effect and becomes shared by the group's members. People are susceptible to catching other people's emotions. If we hang out with ungrateful people, we will catch one set of emotions. If we choose to associate with more grateful individuals, the influence will be in another direction. Find a grateful person and spend more time with him or her. When you yourself express buoyant gratitude, you will find that people want to catch your emotions. End quote. This is great. We've talked about it a number of times throughout these notes, but I never knew it had a scientific foundation, let alone a sweet name like emotional contagion. In the self-dev world, Jim Rohn tells us that we're the average of the five people with whom we spend the most time. While T. Harv Eker tells us, see the notes on Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, quote, energy is contagious. Either you affect people or you infect people. I believe negative thinking is like having measles of the mind. Instead of itching, you get bitching. Instead of scratching, you get bashing. Instead of irritation, you get frustration. Now, do you really want to be close to people like that? End quote. So here's to positively affecting people rather than negatively infecting them. And to hanging out with people who light us up. All right, the final big idea here is go through the motions. Quote, so what if the motion has to be forced? The important thing is to do it. Do it now and the feeling will come. There's a great deal of psychological evidence showing that attitude change often follows behavioral change. Good intentions are often crushed by old habits. If we stand around waiting for a feeling to move us, we may never get going. Get a person to perform a behavior and, with some exceptions, their feelings will fall in line. End quote. Emmons shares this wisdom in the context of the number 9 way to boost our gratitude. He says, go through the motion. And he tells us, quote, an ingenious series of experiments conducted a number of years ago showed that when people mimicked the facial expressions associated with happiness, they felt happier, even when they did not know that they were moving the happy muscles in their face. Researchers have found that smiling itself produces feelings of happiness. End quote. Love that. Now, guess how they induced happiness in that experiment? By having people hold a pen with their teeth. Try it. Hold the pen in your teeth. It makes you kind of smile. And that alone is enough to make you feel better. How awesome is that? Put a little pen in your mouth, get that little kind of sort of smile going on, and that will actually make you feel better. Scientifically, pretty amazing stuff. If you're feeling funky, why not try working with a pen between your front teeth for a little while today? Give it a shot. In his great book, Constructive Living, see those notes, David Reynolds tells us, depression can be created by sitting slouched in a chair, shoulders hunched, head hanging down. Repeat these words over and over. There's nothing anybody can do. No one can help me. I'm helpless. I give up. Shake your head, sigh, cry. In general, act depressed, and the genuine feeling will follow in time. Feelings follow behavior. End quote. Reynolds adds, behavior wags the tail of feelings. We do, then we feel. And in her great book, The How of Happiness, check out those notes, Sonia Lyubomirsky outlines 12 scientifically proven ways to boost our happiness. And number 12 includes acting like a happy person. So, if you're feeling funky or just want to boost your flourishing to even more extraordinary heights, remember to get your gratitude on and act like a happy person. That is a quick look at this great book, Thanks. Let's take a quick look at Dr. Robert Emmons. I'll suggest some other notes you might enjoy, then we'll look at some great quotes from the sidebar. First, Dr. Robert Emmons is a professor at the University of California, Davis, and one of the leading scholars in the positive psychology movement. He is also editor-in-chief of the Journal of Positive Psychology. His work on gratitude has been featured in the Washington Post, the New Republic, Newsweek, and other mainstream media. Dr. Emmons has received multiple grants from the National Institute of Mental Health and the John Templeton Foundation. If you like this note, I think you'll also really enjoy the notes on The How of Happiness, Happier, The Pursuit of Perfect, Flow, and Authentic Happiness. All right, let's take a look at some of the quotes from the sidebar. We'll start with, by cultivating gratefulness, we are freed from envy over what we don't have or who we are not. It doesn't make life perfect, but with gratitude comes the realization that right now, in this moment, we have enough and we are enough. Gratitude is not only an emotion, felt when receiving a benefit gladly, but it is also a stance toward life. Emmons tells us, it may be discouraging at first. Sometimes your list will seem impoverished. Corroborating ancient wisdom, though, through research I have found that becoming aware of one's blessings actually leads to having more to be grateful about. Meister Eckhart tells us, if the only prayer you said in your life is thank you, it would be enough. Back to Emmons, who tells us, it is gratitude that ennobles us to receive, and it is gratitude that motivates us to repay by returning the goodness that we have been given. In short, it is gratitude that enables us to be fully human. Emmons tells us, here's a frightening statistic. By the age of 21, the average adult will have seen 1 million TV commercials. By playing on our desires and fears, these ads fabricate needs and cultivate ingratitude for what we have and who we are. He tells us, in several studies, depression has been shown to be strongly inversely related to gratitude. The more grateful a person is, the less depressed they are. The more depressed a person is, the less likely they are to go around feeling thankful for life. Emmons tells us, contemporary social science research will remind us that if we overlook gratitude, it will be at our own emotional and psychological peril. He tells us, the scientific literature suggests that happy individuals are also more creative, helpful, charitable, and self-confident, have better self-control, and show greater self-regulatory and coping abilities. Happy people, the facts clearly show, are flourishing and successful people. And finally, Emmons shares, I intend this book to provoke intellectual interest as well as self-examination. I hope to provide you with information that might inspire you to make life-altering decisions. End quote. The number one decision that I hope that you make after listening to this is to get your gratitude journal on daily. Take an inventory of the five things, just one sentence you're writing down, of the five things that you feel most grateful for today. Doesn't need to be fancy stuff. It could be the most mundane stuff. You got a haircut today. Awesome. You feel grateful that you live in a country where you can get a haircut, right? And that it looks nice or whatever it is you're grateful for related to that haircut. You get the idea. But take the time and write down five things you're grateful for every day. It could be in the morning, could be in the midday, end of the day. But see if you can do that. And see if you can boost your happiness 25% in the process. Powerful stuff. That is a quick look at Thanks, How the New Science of Gratitude Can Make You Happier by Robert Emmons. Hope you enjoyed it. Looking forward to sharing more with you soon. Have another awesome day. See ya. I should say, I'm grateful for you. Really appreciate all of your support. And look forward to sharing more with you soon. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to www.philosophersnotes.com to download more.